This is KSFR News. I'm Bryce Dix. For our weekly conversation on everything political in New Mexico, I'm joined by Andy Lyman, a reporter with NewMexicoPoliticalReport.com and the co-host of the Growing Forward podcast. Thanks for joining me today. So lots to talk about. Firstly, let's dive into the controversy surrounding the United Soccer Team's proposed stadium that would go, assumingly, in one of two proposed areas near Albuquerque's downtown. Probably near Cole or Broadway area and the 2nd Street / Iron area. In a recent article by the Journal, the team has now made public on how exactly the team will invest into the proposed stadium and into the city of Albuquerque with a newly drafted letter of intent to lease. Firstly, Andy, I want to ask you, what's different with this new information and what's the importance of this letter?
Well, I think United and the supporters of the stadium, I should say United specifically because they're the ones issuing this letter, but it seems to me that it's sort of trying to sweeten the deal a little bit, right? Because the big divide between folks who want the stadium, and actually I should say, I don't think there's a lot of people that are saying, absolutely, we don't want a stadium. It really comes down to who's going to pay for it, how that money is going to, who's going to have to, you know, be left holding the bag, so to speak, if things don't go the way that they say it will. But I think this sort of another effort seems to me by United to say, look, we'll take on a big chunk of ownership in this and we'll take on a big chunk of liability in all of this. You know, obviously the bond sort of does tie back to, you know, our money, I should say our money in Albuquerque, it seems like United is trying to say, look, we're going to have a stake in this as well. So that it sort of is an insurance that United's not going to just up and leave in the middle of the night. And leave us with an empty stadium that nobody wants to play at.
And I should point out that this letter is not a formal lease agreement, so really this is just outlining what the agreement could look like, right?
It also says that if they can't come to an agreement, that the letter's, like you said, it's not binding, so that either party, the city or United, can say, never mind, this letter is no longer a thing, if for some reason they can't come to agreements on things.
For those who don't know, there's going to be a question on the ballot about the stadium for November 2nd's election this year, right? What is United wanting from taxpayers?
I think United wants the taxpayers, and I should specify, I think the Journal article touches on this, that it's not required that this go to the voters, but that Albuquerque Mayor Tim Keller is saying he, again, I think in good faith, that he wants voters to realize that if they don't want this, that he's not going to force it on them. At least that's what he's been saying, according to the Journal article. But basically, I think the United and probably Keller himself would like people to approve this general obligation bond, which, you know, that basically takes out a bond and to fund a big chunk of this stadium. And the idea behind it would be that the stadium would be there for other purposes as well. It wouldn't just be a United stadium. I think people get really nervous because across the country, you see this happen with NFL teams and Major League Baseball teams, where they say, we want to build, let's say, a Braves stadium in Atlanta, and Atlanta taxpayers end up paying for it. But really, the Braves are the only ones that get use of the stadium. That's just one example. But some people are nervous about this. Other people are saying, let's just do it because we want the stadium.
Moving on, a great piece came out last week by New Mexico In Depth's Bella Davis surrounding the practice of essentially counting people who are incarcerated in the place where they are actually imprisoned and not the address where they lived before imprisonment, which can cause issues in political mapping, referred to as, quote, prison gerrymandering. And this, of course, relates to census data and redistricting for those of people who might be confused about what we're talking about. Now, state lawmakers and advocates are pushing to end this practice in the upcoming redistricting special session. Why is that, Andy?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really interesting sort of issue that, and maybe a lot of people don't think about, that I think what Bella's article sort of highlights is that there are a whole lot of people, majority of people in prisons actually have a registered address of Albuquerque. Now, when they go to redistrict and count populations, they're counting populations in those prison towns, or I should say the towns where the prison is located. The prison population becomes the population of that town, which sort of skews the numbers a little bit. So I think what Bella highlighted in her article was very interesting, that essentially it sort of skews the line of power to those small towns that otherwise wouldn't have as much representation. interestingly enough, they get those numbers, but those people are not able to vote. Sort of a weird thing, and I don't know what the answer is. Obviously, it looks like there's some sources that Bella spoke with that have some solutions or proposed solutions, but it is something that I think a lot of people don't think about. That I think if you live in Springer or you're looking at Springer as a population, obviously the Census Bureau was including people that are incarcerated in Springer, and they may actually, when they get out of prison, go back and live in Albuquerque. And so that sort of skews those numbers.
Now, the article sort of points out that this information needs to be sent over to the state's newly formed Citizen Redistricting Committee. Why do you think this is important, Andy?
Well, it sounds like the ball is in the court of the committee. And the story quotes a representative, a spokesperson from Corrections Department, who essentially said, we're not going to send that information over until they ask for it. I'm not sure how that works. I think it just adds another complication to things because you sort of have to, you know, break down numbers. I'm not obviously an expert of census or redistricting, but it seems like that would add a whole level of complication for this committee to then sort of reevaluate numbers that have already been evaluated by the Census Bureau.
And to wrap up, a new episode of Growing Forward is coming out today. Can you give us a little tease about what's going on in the episode?
Yeah, so I will say a little tease, keep an ear out for, we did something a little bit different in this next episode. We have an extra special segment from probably a familiar voice to some folks who maybe watch New Mexico PBS or have just kind of been around for a while. So we have an extra little special segment about home grows in there. But then we also talked to, we've talked to this company before, Carver Family Farm. And there we're sort of tracking their progress in getting a license, a micro business license. So we went and visited the facility they have just secured. Of course, they haven't grown anything yet. And it just sort of, we talked a lot about the sort of bureaucracy that everybody kind of has to go through to get these licenses. There's a multi-level bureaucracy. There's the state. And then of course, every city or county or town that you're in, you have to abide by those local ordinances. And so it doesn't seem easy for them at all.
And where can we find the podcast?
Yeah, so you can search Growing Forward wherever you normally get your podcast. You can also find all of our episodes at nmpbs.org. I know we're on Spotify. I think the best way to search for it is just look for Growing Forward wherever you get your podcasts.
That's all the time we have today. As always, thanks to Andy Lyman for taking the time.